Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmans NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome and thank you for joining us. This is Rick Rickma, your hard working mortgage guy.
And this is Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage.
We hope you're having a great weekend. And again, we appreciate you joining us. We want to go over first, I like to go over the numbers, kind of go over what's going on in the market, Ian, and let people know, you know, what they should be expecting. You know, we can't specifically talk about rates, but mortgage rates for the last week have pretty much stayed steady. Mortgage-backed securities, which is, you know, I'll explain it real briefly. Mortgage-backed security bonds are where the mortgages are traded. So when you hear that your loan is a Freddie Mac or a Fannie Mae loan, we'll just take those, conventional mortgage, and it's traded on the market, and it's traded as, so investors buy these, and they're traded as mortgage bonds. And as mortgage bonds go up, mortgage rates go down, and vice versa. So the mortgage bonds were mostly down this week. We were down a little bit. We were down quite a bit. Then we came back up. You know, last week we were up and then we went down. But it's kind of like a roller coaster. You know, we start and then you go up and down and up and down and up and down. And at the end of the week, you come in and you're pretty much where you started from. So rates have been pretty much the same. And it looks like that's probably going to stay. Some of that may be due to, you know, all of the information that's out there. Inflation is a real big negative to mortgage-backed security bonds and interest rates. And, you know, there's some reports that they think that inflation is going to be really under control. And the feds are coming out saying, you know, well, we think inflation is going to be fine. Well, I don't really agree with what the feds are saying. What about you? Do you believe it?
Not really. I mean, it's just, one, they're wrong quite a bit, too. So that doesn't help their case.
Yeah, I never know if they're wrong or just lie. So I'm not sure which one it is. You know, are they telling
50-50.
Us?
50-50.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, you don't know. There's an agenda. Every you know, group has an agenda. But let's look at the inflation just very briefly, because inflation definitely affects mortgage rates. In June, last year in June 2021, the inflation peaked at 0.9. for the month. So that means in June of 2022, when we get those numbers, which we'll get in July, if it's lower than 0.9 for the month, the inflation year over year number will go down. If it's higher, it will go up. If it's the same, it'll stay the same. And so most people, and you're hearing a lot of them say, we're hitting the max of inflation. This is it. And that's because of that number. A lot of them think because of that number. But you can't just stop there. You got to look forward. If you look a little bit farther, now you're talking July. So instead of 0.9, we're at 0.5 in July of 2021. If we're over that number, inflation goes up. Guess what happens in August? 0.3. So now there's a high likelihood we're going to see a higher number. And if it came in at 0.6, then inflation goes up by 0.3. If it came in at 0.9, it's going to go up by 0.6. September, it's 0.4. So the next June is a big number. July, August, September are low numbers. And then October hits a big number again, and then it starts to really go off. And that's at 0.9. So we expect inflation. I expect inflation. You and I have talked about it. I think you feel the same way, that we're going to see inflation numbers get hotter. Maybe not in June, but certainly July's number, August number, September numbers. And when they, for those months, that's the next month they come out. So we're expecting inflation to go up. And when inflation goes up, what happens to rates?
They're going to go up.
They tend to go up, don't they? And then when inflation's back under control. Now, along with these numbers, you have the Feds raising the federal fund rate. A lot of people, I've talked to customers all the time, and they're saying, you know, oh, the federal fund rate's going up. Rates are going up. Rates are going up. That's because they don't understand the fundamentals of the market. When the Feds raise the federal fund rate, they're raising the overnight rate. Member banks loan each other money. It's a very short term. But when they raise that rate, what does it do to inflation?
It's going to decrease it.
Right. It's going to get it under control, and it's going to help decrease it. Does it do it right away?
No, it takes time.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
Just look at what you said. I mean, you got to look at a full year. So if, like you just said, our June right now, our June last was 0.9. We won't know what the new June, and then that 0.9 falls off. So everything you see is going to be last for a year.
Right. Yeah, last for a year, and you don't see it in June. You don't see those numbers,
nope,
June numbers
in July.
June. You don't see them until July. And that's part of the issue. And when the feds raise the federal fund rate, it doesn't immediately affect things. It takes a while to filter into the economy, so it's going to take some time. But we believe, and the reason we believe it is if you look back at history, every time in history when the feds have done this, the rates come down. That's what we're expecting. I also believe that we're already in a recession, but a lot of people say we're going to be in a recession. Either one, I think it's inevitable. Yeah. I think we're there, but I think it's inevitable.
You're on the cusp of it.
Yeah.
You're about to go down, deep down. So,
yeah.
All right. So you got the NBA finals started this week. So I got a couple quick little questions.
What's the NBA?
Oh, I know. You're not a big sports guy.
Baseball Association?
National Basketball Association. But so I know you're not a big sports guy. So let's turn this into mortgages. So what do you think in Indianapolis? Just give us a round of ballpark. Just Indianapolis. What do you think the average house price is or value?
Indianapolis and the surrounding counties?
No, just Indianapolis. So Marion County.
You know, I've never looked at that number. No, that's amazing because we do so much in the surrounding counties. I've never actually looked at the Indianapolis number. I would guess it's around 220, 225.
You are correct. 220.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow.
All right. And just so you know, I did not show him any of these numbers before, so this is all top of his head. So he actually did pretty well with that one. All right. So now let's see. So in the East, you have Boston. So what do you think the average house price in Boston, Massachusetts is?
That's going to be a whole lot higher. Let's say 490.
739.
See, I'm not even close. It's such a different market.
Yeah. Well, and all these numbers presented by Zillow. So if you want to argue with them, call them.
Okay.
All right. And the other team is Golden State, which is based out of San Francisco. So what do you think San Francisco's?
$1.6 million.
I was
going high.
Could you imagine $1.6 million for indie houses?
Yeah,
that'd be crazy.
They got to have higher income.
that's true.
Cost of living is a lot higher there than here.
I mean, but I just thought it was a neat little thing. I was curious, and so I looked it up. I was like, $1.6 million for an average home. That's crazy.
Yeah, when we're 220.
Yeah.
So Boston is
739. Basically,
so,
740.
So almost 3.5 times more than us.
Yeah.
And San Francisco, is that the other?
Yep. 1,600. Or 1,600.
So Golden State's from San Francisco?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Bay Area. Okay. But I just thought it was interesting. I was just like, oh, what's the average price? Well, I was like, oh, my goodness. I thought it would be, I knew it would be higher. I didn't think it would be that much higher.
Oh, That's shocking high.
So when they talk about pricing out people out of their budgets, that when you're talking about San Francisco, I go, yeah, you price me out pretty darn quick.
Right. Yeah. I think the key there is don't retire from Indianapolis to San Francisco. But if you retire from San Francisco to Indianapolis and you sold your house, you're going to be looking pretty.
Yes. Very nice.
And you know, it's funny because I think that's one of the things that created this increase in values is we have a lot of influx of people from places like California.
Yeah. Well, it's a whole – they don't have to work at the office anymore.
Right.
I mean, if you can work from home, where does it matter where you live?
And if you have a house that you just sold in California, in San Francisco for $1.7 million,
yep,
and you come here
– how much could you offer over that price?
It'd be interesting. Did you even look at what those houses look like for $1.7
million? I did not, no.
I'll bet they aren't much better than our $500,000 houses.
No.
You know, that's really would be a tale – that'd be – interesting to look at, but I'll bet they aren't that much better. So yeah, that's interesting. That's really interesting, I think.
So one other thing I saw, Redfin actually announced today that 20% of homes reduced their price last month. That's the highest since October 2019.
Yeah, so what they're saying is, I want to make sure I understand and make sure it's clear. So what they're saying is, if somebody came in and they put their house on the market for $500,000, 26% of those people said, oh, we
or 20%.
20% of those people said, well, we probably listed it too high. We need to lower our list price.
Correct.
Yeah, because you don't want people looking at that and saying, oh, you know what? That means that prices are falling, because that's not what that means. Many people in the market like we're in overprice their home because they think,
Why not?
Look, right.
If you're going fishing, you throw out your bait and get the biggest fish. Awesome. But if you get the small one, you're still going to be happy.
Yeah. But you know what? Here's what I think the problem is with that. I think that people, it's hard to adjust to the market that is completely different than what you've ever done before. The old market, you listed your house, and that was the, today it's the same thing. It's the starting price.
Correct.
The difference is back three years ago, and before, the starting price, the offers came in below starting price. So you listed high, and then you got price, offers below that. Today, you list it, and you get offers above that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an interesting thing. I think it shows that maybe the market is softening, but it also could just be people who are thinking, oh, I'm, you know, if I can sell my house for this amount, I'm going to sell my house because they know the market's hot. So it's going to be interesting to see how it actually affects our market.
Now, I know I've seen this. You've been in the market a lot longer than I have been. So do you normally see around, let's say, this June, July time, do you normally see more price reductions in homes than you do throughout the year? Or
that's a great question. You know what? We're running up against a break. So we're going to take our break, and we'll talk about that after the break.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us. I'm Rick Rittma, the hardworking mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage.
And he's asleep over there.
Got to sleep sometime.
Yeah. And if you need to get a hold of us, you have any mortgage questions, you want to talk to us for any reason, go online to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. And we're going to talk a little bit about the spring market, but before we do that, let's go to Question of the Week.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
The question of the week is brought to you by Debt Crusher Mortgage, improving your life by relieving the stress of debt.
And that's us, by the way. Debt Crusher Mortgage is us.
It is us. I mean, it is incredible how much people have increased in debt, especially recently with people not putting as much in savings accounts and putting on charge cards. We were able to reduce quite a bit of people with that Debt Crusher Mortgage.
With the additional increase in equities that we've seen, the higher values of homes, it's made a huge difference in lots of people's lives. It can be it's really life-changing. It's kind of a really fun mortgage to do for somebody because it actually and completely changes their life.
Correct, easily. All right, so the question last week was, I am an odd number. Take away a letter and I become even. What number am I? It's 7. If you take away the S, you become even. All right. So the new one for next week. What can you hold in your right hand but never in your left hand?
You come up with some great questions. You're really good at searching the internet.
I got two. If I memorize them, I got two young kids. I can use these on all the time.
Let's get back to the spring market. You'd asked the question about, the spring market. What exactly do you remember?
So, with you being in the business as long as you have, do you normally see a price reduction in homes for sale around this time, and or is this just not common?
It's actually very, very common. I actually have some graphs. One of them's reasonably a part of what you're talking about. The other one gives you, I think, some really great insight into why it happens. But the percentage of properties with recent price reductions. And if you look at this, if you had this in front of you, you would see every year we see the reductions and prices start to go up. So like this year it's gone up In fact, for the week, it says we're up 23.1%. So 23.1% of the homes have had a price reduction. Now, in 2021, it was a little bit different market back then, and we only had 15.8%, which was very, very low. Other than that, every other year that's on here, 2018, it was almost 30%. You know, 2020, it was 25%. So all the other years, as you look at them, and all these other years, they're, you know, 2017, 16, they're all higher than that. So they all saw more price reductions on houses, up in most of them, all in about the 30% range. But if you look at another chart that I'm looking at, it's very interesting. It's showing the market and shows that every single year, and this is really about what you're hearing on the news, and they're like, oh, the houses aren't selling as quickly as they were, and there's this and that, and there's more on the market and all this. Well, there's a reason for that. It happens every single year. Every year, if you look at the chart, every year, the new purchases or the new homes on the market are down in the very beginning of the year, late in the year, November, December, right? Mm-hmm. Not many people put their homes on the market November, December.
No.
January, it's winter. It's still a little slow. It starts to pick up in February. And March, April, May, June, you see a huge increase in the houses being listed. And when you get more houses, you have more inventory. So
you're in more competition.
Supply and demand
yep.
changes. And so this is not an unusual situation. It's kind of what happens every year. It's not surprising. What is irritating to me is that the way that the news media wants to present it, because they never want to, they always want to sensationalize everything, act like it's such a disaster and it's never supposed, you know, it's never happened in the past, and yet it has. In fact, I don't even remember the lady. Do you remember who it is that came out and said in the last decade we haven't seen some number? I can't even remember what it was. And she was flat out wrong. We'd seen it twice in the last 10 years. So they really do try to scare us. If I can come up with that, I'll bring it up. But I just can't remember right now.
One other interesting thing that I saw when I was researching a little bit was Redfin actually also said that 13% less people searched the term homes for sale on Google last month, which I thought 13% less. It's not a huge number, but it was just like, in my mind, I'm thinking you'd see a lot more being that springtime. And let's be honest, as we talked before, my kids just got out of school. So if I'm going to start looking, that would be the time to really start looking. So I just thought it was like, oh, well, that's interesting. So I don't know. It might be some people are a little worried about the interest rates. I mean, some people may have seen so many people bid over that they just want to take a break too, because that would basically sometimes be me, is, all right, I don't want to try to buy 5 or 10 houses and then have to bid 10 or 12 grand higher and not knowing if I'm going to get it or not, or that type of deal. So I can see some people stepping out for taking a break.
Yeah. I think that as prices increase and as mortgage rates increased, you're going to see some people moving out of the market, stop looking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's going to happen. But even that 13% decrease, when you look at the numbers, there's still many more people looking to buy homes than homes on the market.
Yep.
So it's not, it, you know, if you have, and I don't know the numbers, but if you have 100 homes, you have 100 homes on the market and you have 90 people out shopping for homes. Okay.
Yeah.
Then you can negotiate. You know, all 100 aren't going to sell. There's only 90 people looking.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
And if you have a big reduction in people looking at that point, then that's going to hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have, which is the market we've had, you have 100 homes on the market and you have 200 people looking for homes, and then that 16% drop out, you still have 160-something people looking for 100
yeah.
homes that are on the market.
Yep.
And I think that's the big, it's if you can look at individual numbers and you can say, oh, this is bad. But when you look at the entire picture, it's not. Now, I will say May, from everybody I've talked to several real estate agents, top producers, big producers, and they've talked to friends of theirs who are also big producers, been in the business forever. May was a very odd month.
Mm-hmm.
There were homes selling like crazy, but I don't even know how to explain it. But in some of the market just kind of stopped for a few weeks. I think there was something else going on. I don't know what it was. I don't know why, but I already see it's totally back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like June hit, and we got and all of a sudden, well, you know, I guess it just hit a few days ago, but it's even before then, maybe we got through Memorial Day weekend, whatever, got through it, and all of a sudden, the calls are coming in again. People are out looking. I'm getting lots of pre-approvals again. And it's just that it was just the last 2 weeks of May.
Well, you have all
the, what happened.
You have all the graduations.
Yeah,
you have all that stuff. I mean, especially if your kids did sports, that's always like, let's say, playoff. It's like sectionals, divisional, playoffs, or whatever you want to call it. So I can see somewhat dying down because you got too much going on, sort of deal. But
yeah, and you know, and that can happen. People can be there, and they're, you know, they're worried about a lot of other things, and especially maybe this is all part of it. You had talked about it, when it's hard to get a house.
Yep.
Okay. I got other things to do, and I really don't have time to go shop for a home because I got to do all these other things, and I'm not going to get a home anyway because my offer's never going to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that thinking, and I'd probably be the same. And you know, but once you get past that, the reality is this: I am seeing people get offers accepted,
mm-hmm.
and the thing I think. One of the biggest things I think that's dropped out is the institutional buyers, the companies buying homes. We're not seeing as much of that. The people paying the cash, buying homes that are buying them to fix them up and sell them or rent them or whatever they're going to do with them, that they've really ruined our market, really hurt the housing market all in all. That seems to have gone away.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I mean, you see it quite a bit. Well, you're also going to see a lot of the investment people, the people who buy the homes just to rent them out. When the rates were so low, it was smart to do that. But now as rates have gone up, it hit your pocketbook a little bit more. So you're going to see a lot of those more people drop out of that. So that allows more single families to buy their homes instead of people turn it into rentals.
Okay.
But so we got a few minutes left. So I know we always cut this off for the last. So I figure we talk a little bit more about this. The demographics for age. So it says that the average age of somebody buying a house is usually about 33.
First
time home buyer. So do you think that number will change with the higher price of houses?
I do not. And the reason I don't think it's going to change is if you look at history, it's never changed. We've always had price increases. Houses today are considerably more expensive than they were 33 years ago. In fact, as an example, I bought my house about 33 years ago. Okay, I've lived there just over 30 years. All right. And in that time, it's gone up 2.5-3 times. But so have incomes.
Yes. And I think that's when you hear about it on the radio or on the news and everything. I think that's what a lot of people are missing. So I did a little research. So let's say you bought a house in 1973. The average price of a house at that point in time was about $45,000 in 1973.
Yeah.
Okay. So now if you say people could afford that, but how much were you making? You weren't making close to what they're making now. So, and then in 1995, it was close to $150,000. Okay, does that sound bad? No. It's just a progression of that's the way it's going. Well, guess what? When you worked at, even when I got, when I was in high school, when I first came out of work, I made about $7.25 an hour. I worked at Blockbuster, if that tells you how old I am. So, so $7.25. I go, now, if you go to McDonald's right now, you want to work, how much are you making? $15, $17 an hour.
Right.
I go, they'll give you anything you want just to get you to work there. I go, okay, so that's almost double what I was making So the price of living, I mean, your income has changed. And I think that's not what a lot of people are hitting on.
Right. Minimum wage, and truthfully, I don't remember what it was, but mm-hmm. I believe that back in when I would have been doing that, so I graduated in, you know, late 70s. So let's say late 70s, early 80s. I think it was around, we could look it up, but somewhere around $3. Mm-hmm. For some reason, $3.10 sticks in my mind. And what's minimum wage today?
Hey, and your gas price was probably about 50 cents or 25 cents.
It wasn't 25, but it was pretty close. I mean, it was a big eye opener when gas went over a dollar.
Yeah.
All right. That was a big eye opener. So you're right. The incomes have gone up, which have made homes much, much more affordable. Okay. So I got one question. I know we're getting late in the game. Yeah. One question. When does the NBA finals start, or have they already started?
They are started. They started on Thursday. So.
So they already started.
Yep. Yeah. And so you're a little bit behind there.
And I'm just because I don't really watch any of this, but I'm guessing Golden State's the favorite.
Yes.
Only because they have Steph Curry in it, yep. But they won like the last 20 in a row or some ridiculous.
Not that money, but that may put them better than Michael. All right. So before we wrap up, I do want to mention though, Rick has not said anything. We do have our Father's Day special coming up here soon in a few weeks. On Saturday before Father's Day. So if you do have young kids or even if grandkids and you want to just easy conversation, talk about credit and stuff like that, definitely tune in for that.
Yep. We'll go over how to handle money. Thank you very much for joining us. Go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. And on there you can, in the top left or right corner, you think I know my left from my right, you can put all your information in there and we'll be able to follow up with you. Thanks a lot and have a great day.